The following Wheat Among the Tares program has been pre-recorded. Well, hello, everyone. I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares, our program here from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio in Lexington, South Carolina. I want to thank you for joining us here this morning. A blessing to have everybody aboard. You know, we come to some unusual conversations from time to time when it comes to matters that are really, and I'll use the word very prickly, when it comes to the matters of politics and how it affects us specifically in the church. And today is one of those broadcasts that I want to bring out once again. Our guest is no stranger to us, and he has been with us before, but I'm speaking of Brother Mark Baumgartner. He is with Moment of Hope. Moment of Hope is an abortion prevention service, and Brother Mark has been involved with this for a number of years. I want to save that so he can kind of give us some background of history. But anyhow, Brother Mark, I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares this morning.
Thank you, Blake. It's a privilege and blessing to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you joining us here this morning. This was kind of one of those things that kept coming back to my mind. And I said, even before we went on the air, that my wife was actually mentioning this. And so, you know, I said, you know what, we need to do this, because it's been quite a while since you have been with us here on Wheat Among the Tares. And Mark, as you well know, this is one of the most controversial subjects that we deal with regard to the morality, not only of individuals, but of nations. And this particular subject, it doesn't matter where you go worldwide, it so affects people, and particularly the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how to deal with this. And I know that you have been involved. Brother Mark, tell us real quickly a little bit of background, Moment of Hope, how it got started, and how long have you been involved with it?
So just over 10 years ago, a friend of mine had asked me, had I ever considered going out to the abortion facility? He and I used to do that in Orlando when I lived there. And I said I had never thought about it in South Carolina, but I would pray about it. And the Lord gave me a burden to go out, and 2 weeks later, on October 13th of 2012, I went out and stood at the base of the driveway at the abortion facility in Columbia, South Carolina. It's a Planned Parenthood. I was a corporate pilot at the time, and I took my aviation business card, and on the back I wrote, "It's not too late to change your mind. There are caring people that want to help you." I put my cell phone, and the very first lady that showed up, I just waved, and she rolled down her window. I gave her that card, told her I was here to help, and she went inside the abortion facility. It was a Saturday morning. I didn't know. I'd never been there before. I didn't know if they were doing abortions or what, and turns out she went inside to schedule an abortion, and as she left, she drove right by me, and I didn't know what had happened. But when she got to the top of the hill where that abortion clinic is, she turned around, she put on her brakes and turned around, came back to me and rolled down her window, and she was holding back tears, and she said, "Can you really help me?" And we exchanged information, and I looked on the seat of her car and saw the piece of paper that Planned Parenthood had given her that scheduled an abortion for Tuesday. It was her appointment
time
paper.
Yeah.
And so she, you know, I saw that she was going to come for an abortion. So anyway, I started texting her after she, you know, later that day and the next day. And finally on Thursday, she wrote me and said, texted me and said, "Mark, I just want to let you know I'm not going to go through with the abortion. Thank you for giving me a moment of hope." And so that's where the name A Moment of Hope comes from. It's from this very first mom I met on the sidewalk. She changed her mind. Her baby is now 10.
Amen.
Little Chloe, we had a 10-year celebration. We had Dr. Ben Carson in town in February. And Heather, the mother, and Chloe, the daughter, were there to celebrate with us. And it was just a blessing.
Quite a story, my brother. Quite a story. Thank you for reminding me of that. And folks, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Brother Mark Bumgardner, who is the director and founder of Moment of Hope. Brother Mark, you said 10 years, and I know that there's been so much in the way of turmoil over the past 10 years. There's probably so many stories that you could share with us. And first of all, before we get to any of the rest of the stories, and by the way, that one was great from the outset. Tell us a little bit about the ministry of Moment of Hope now, in this present hour, and what's going on with it, and then what you see as far as what the Lord is doing with that ministry in the future.
So our ministry started out as a sidewalk outreach. I was out there by myself, and I just felt like, wouldn't it be great if we had somebody here every hour this abortion clinic is open? So that was my vision. And the Lord, by 2017, we had at least one person there every hour that abortion clinic was open. And now we have 16 employees. We have people there all the time, multiple people. And we went from a sidewalk ministry to what's called, we have three pillars of our ministry. We have the sidewalk outreach, we have pregnancy care teams, and we have a mobile ultrasound RV. The pregnancy care teams are an aspect of the ministry. As more and more mothers were changing their minds, we wanted to help them through their pregnancy, help them with any challenges they were having, housing, transportation, rides to the doctor, financial difficulties, however we could help them, because, you know, they're coming for an abortion for a reason. And so we wanted to address those reasons. Well, it was overwhelming. We started helping all these mothers and we just couldn't keep up. So a wise pastor suggested that we form what's called pregnancy care teams. And these are ministries in local churches. It's usually a group of ladies or couples in local Bible-believing churches, wherever that mother lives. And they encourage her, they disciple her, and they help her through her pregnancy for a whole year. They'll throw her a baby shower and invite her to church, share the gospel with her. So it's just a beautiful ministry. And we've had over 70 pregnancy care teams now. In fact, we have a baby shower this weekend for one of those care teams. And the third aspect is our mobile ultrasound RV. Just about a year and a half ago, we bought an RV. We thought, hey, if we could do ultrasounds right in front of the abortion clinic, how many more lives could we save? So we did. A generous donor actually gave the funds for us to buy this RV and ultrasound, and it's been out there. We've done dozens of ultrasounds for moms that now they can see their baby. You know, they're driving in for an abortion. They see us on the sidewalk. We offer them that ultrasound, and if we can get them on the RV to see their baby, the chances of that life being saved goes way up. So
yes.
Those are the three things we're doing out there.
Mark, the RV itself, that's fascinating in the sense of, are there other groups with similar equipment, for the lack of another term, that do something like that? Or was Moment of Hope one of the first that offered that, literally on the sidewalk, in juxtaposed to the Planned Parenthood abortion clinic.
We certainly aren't the first organization to do it, but we're the first here in Columbia to do it. There have been other pregnancy centers that have had mobile units, but they haven't had the courage to put them in front of the abortion facility. We take that RV to the gates of hell. And so we have it parked right in front of the abortion clinic every day they're open. And so we want to give every opportunity to these mothers to see the life growing in them. So, yeah, others do it. I know of one in Charlotte where they're at the abortion clinic every day. So, yeah, we're not the only one, but we're the only one here in Columbia.
You know, and I mentioned at the outset of the program how this particular ministry and what's going on with regard to the murder of innocent children not only affects us here in the United States, but it affects folks worldwide. And we have listeners from Great Britain and other countries from around the world that when they listen, and hopefully they're listening now and they will listen to this podcast and subsequently. Mark, the ministry of Moment of Hope, first of all, and again, the thrust of it is to care for the mom, first of all, that she will save that child, and then you help them along and discipling them, etc. If that doesn't succeed, is there a follow-up somehow, and I'm asking this because I don't know, is there some kind of follow-up if they reach out post-abortion situation and they realize that they have made a mistake, they have done wrong, and now they need some support with regard to going on further? Do you have support such as that?
So we have so there are organizations that do post-abortion counseling, and we have relationships with those organizations. But I will say, if a mother comes to us, we would absolutely meet with her or share the gospel with her, because we have had that situation. A mother took the abortion pill. She was regretted it. She came to our facility after the baby had already died, and she was hoping the baby was still alive. And so she went inside to get a checkup, and when she came out, she was just wailing, bitter tears of grief. She was hoping that her baby was still alive. And so Valerie, who's our client service manager, was able to interact with her as she was walking to her car, and they have become friends. Val has discipled her and pointed her to Christ. So, yes, we would do that. I will say that it doesn't happen very often that we hear back from these moms, but every single gift bag that we give out, and we give out about 3,500 gift bags to each client that will accept one as they're driving in the driveway, each one of our gift bags has a gospel tract in it, and then each person that's had an abortion on their way out, we offer them another bag that has the information about post-abortion counseling.
Amen. I know that in and of itself is sometimes, you definitely want to get them before they go in, but if they go in and they come out and they have regret and they have the remorse, at least some of them, the avenue to contact them, to me, that would be of great value in follow-up, as you described so aptly. I want to change gears a little bit here, Mark, and I want to go to a little bit of the political scene, just from the standpoint of our Supreme Court ruling that was in June of 2022, and where the Roe v. Wade was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, which everybody thought was an absolute victory, and it is in one way, and it threw things back to the states so that they could decide individually as states, you know, what they wanted to do with the issue of the murder of children. South Carolina, unfortunately, as you well know, and if there are other folks listening in other parts of the country, and I know they are, and around the world, here in the United States and in South Carolina, Mark, it seems as though things went from being a bad situation to a much worse situation now because of our inaction, supposedly, as a result of the Roe v. Wade decision. What have you seen with regard to what's going on in the light of Roe v. Wade being overturned in June of 2022?
You are absolutely correct, Blake. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, it was a Friday. It was June 24th. We were out on the sidewalk. It was an abortion day. And we were absolutely elated and overjoyed. Shouts of joy, you know, when the verdict came out, were audible from our people out there, just so happy. And then what's played out has been the exact opposite of what we thought would happen. The number of abortions in South Carolina has skyrocketed because states around South Carolina are passing laws to restrict abortion, so everyone is coming here for their abortion. South Carolina has become an abortion destination state, and so not only have the number of abortions gone up, but they've also increased the number of abortion days. Typically, they've been doing abortions 2 days a week, for the last 10 years, and then recently they've started going to 3 days a week here and there. Maybe twice a month they'll do 3 days. So it's really stretched us thin as a organization because we don't know, you know, when are they going to do that third abortion day? Is it going to be this week? And so we have extra crews on standby, and it's just made our job all that much harder. And we thought we saw the light at the end of the tunnel for abortion in South Carolina, when in fact the road just keeps going.
The need of prayer, number one, for our state legislature here in South Carolina, and for those that are listening in other states of the United States and then other countries around the world, and I know they face a lot of the same obstacles of trying to get their legislatures or the powers that be to understand, number one, this is the murder of innocent children, and number two, that the ploys of those that continually to push the shedding of innocent blood, it just seems as though, our pleas sometime, it falls on deaf ears, and those that, Mark, as you well know, even though, and they say they, quote, are pro-life, but when it comes to the matter, honestly, of being for the defeat of the murder of children, they are completely the opposite, and we have found that here in South Carolina, have we not?
It has been really eye-opening. Now that we have the opportunity to restrict abortion in South Carolina, it shows where the true colors are of each of our legislators, because in the past, someone could run and say they were pro-life, but they could hide behind the Roe v. Wade, ruling, but now they can't. So what we found is people that are supposedly conservative, supposedly pro-life, are consistently voting against pro-life legislation that would save lives. So it's really shown us where people stand, and I hope that if you have listeners here in South Carolina listening to this, that they will educate themselves on what their representatives are doing.
And brother, for sure, and I want to make sure that our listeners understand this, not only here in South Carolina to educate themselves, and that's a very excellent recommendation for us, but those that may be listening in other states of the United States that may have favorable rulings right now, but things can so change so quickly. And so it's imperative and important for us to understand, number one, what our state legislatures are doing, those that are in authority, that number one, we pray for them, and number two, that we educate ourselves and have an influence when it comes to matters that are going on within these legislatures. Because, Mark, if we don't speak up, then the silence is akin to approval, and that's why we need to step forward and say enough is enough. And number one, again, praying for those that are in authority. Mark, let me ask you with regard to Moment of Hope and interaction with our legislature and trying to have influence there. Has that been somewhat successful for you as the director of Moment of Hope and being able to at least address some of these issues with our legislature here?
As a nonprofit, we cannot endorse particular candidates, but we can certainly endorse a cause, which is the pro-life cause. So, yes, we want to see legislation passed and continue to close the faucet, so to speak, on this bloodbath that's happening. I did want to ask your listeners to please pray wherever you are around the world. Our South Carolina Supreme Court is deliberating now about a heartbeat law that our legislators and governor signed that was immediately challenged by Planned Parenthood and is put on hold. But if that, if our Supreme Court of South Carolina upholds that law, that will reduce our abortions they will go from about 60 a week in Columbia to 20 a week. So that's a 2/3 reduction in abortion. So that's a significant prayer request that I have for your listeners.
Well, I was going to get to that to see if there was particularly anything that you, from, I want to say, your boots on the ground there with regard to right in the face of Planned Parenthood here in South Carolina and what is going on. And I will come to that time of prayer. Mark, I know that, again, many, many stories that are that happen all the time with regard to the ministry there. You shared with me one earlier. We were talking about the RV and the ultrasound opportunity for women to see firsthand their babies in the womb. And you had an event that you just described to me that happened, in fact, the day that we are recording this. Tell us about what happened particularly with that event.
So this is a gut-wrenching story. I have a pastor friend that I show videos of what happens out there, encounters that we have with the Planned Parenthood escorts who want to see every single baby murdered that comes there. And he said to me, "Mark, Planned Parenthood's motto should really be, let no good baby go unmurdered." And we saw that today. Early this morning, a mother arrived for her abortion appointment, and we, our sidewalk volunteer, was talking to her and offered her that ultrasound, and she was open to it. She wanted to see her baby. So Maria, our volunteer, directed her to our parking lot, which is near our RV. She pulled in the parking lot, and the Planned Parenthood escort noticed that this woman was going to go on our RV, she immediately ran across the street and began telling her that things like, we don't have licensed medical personnel, we don't keep their information private, you know, just scare tactics. And this woman was scared by it. And she was literally 3 feet from the door of the RV, and she stopped and went back to her car and went in Planned Parenthood. So it's just heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching to see this kind of these lives, you know, being snatched away that were almost saved. So it's a hard battle, and it's hard to watch this. And so we really need prayer out there.
Folks, if you are, with regard, and I'll say this, with regard to the front lines that Brother Mark Baumgartner has described to us, and they face this week after week, month after month, it should prompt our prayer life. And I'm thinking of myself as I sit here behind this microphone, how that we sometimes forget how that we need to pray for those that are ministering, as Brother Mark and Valerie and others that are out there all the time, and they are seeing these things that are going on. Brother Mark, I want to say, first of all, thank you for your faithfulness out there. You and your team and everybody that's there, so, you know, day in and day out, and they are ministering the best way you know how. And but I'm thankful too that our Lord Jesus Christ sees what is happening, and he sees those that are purposed to shed innocent blood, and certainly he is not blind when it comes to that. And I'm appreciative of the fact of the grace and strength that he's given you and your team to stand there week after week. Mark, as is our custom, we want to take a moment to pray for you and your team and the ministry of Moment of Hope. So let's go to the Lord now. And just to remember again, the request that has been made concerning just, again, the ministry of Moment of Hope in particular. Let's take a moment to pray. Now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come on behalf of Moment of Hope, Brother Mark, Baumgartner, those that labor so much on the streets there every day, every week. Lord, the things that they faced and will face, Lord, I ask for grace and strength for them. I pray, Lord, that you would give them fruit for their labors, Lord, that there will be many women who would come and, Lord, to see, Lord, that their children are worthy to be spared. And I pray that you would give wisdom to those that deal with these women. And, Lord, I pray for our Supreme Court here in the state of South Carolina, that, Lord, that they would see the importance and rule with regard to righteousness and to stand against the evil, Lord, that is out there so pressing them to do wrong. God, I pray that you would help them to see. Thank you for meeting every need, Lord, for Brother Mark and him. And, Lord, I know they have others and other needs that are pressing upon them. Lord, the immediate needs there, their prayers, I pray that you would hear and answer according to your will. Thank you for the opportunity this day to speak to Brother Mark. I pray your richest blessings be upon him and his team. And we will thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Mark Baumgartner, Moment of Hope. Brother, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule today to share with us what's going on with regard to the Moment of Hope ministry there, the pro-life ministry here in Columbia, South Carolina. And Brother Mark, my prayer is not only for this ministry, but for others that maybe have similar ministries around the country, that if they've heard this podcast, that if they have questions, they'll certainly reach out to you so that you can help them, because we're all in this together to try to deliver the innocent babies. Mark, thank you so much for joining us today here on Wheat Among the Tares.
Thank you, Blake. And if I could, let me give our web address so they can find us.
Absolutely, sir. Yes.
Yeah, AMOH.org. It stands for A Moment of Hope, AMOH.org.
And they can go there and find out information. They can donate whatever they need to do with regard to the ministry of A Moment of Hope, correct?
Yes, and my email address is there. If they want to have any questions they want to ask, I'd be happy to respond.
Amen. God bless you, my brother. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Blake, for your ministry as well.
Take Bye-bye. Care. Bye-bye. And I want to thank you for joining us for Wheat Among the Tares this day. May God bless you. Thank you for joining us, and have a good day in the Lord.